You know, Eloy brought back some memories of an Irish group that came down. What year was this? 2000, around 2000. So the story behind that is that they brought about 35 people. I think it was around 25, 35 people. And I remember Pastor Green had this idea that instead of going to summer camp, we'll have camp here. And oh, I was so upset. Oh, I love my summer camps. You know, I was a youth, or I was not a youth at the time. I was a young adult. And I remember thinking, Pastor doesn't know what he's doing. You know, what is he doing? We're going to miss out on camp. So I learned a valuable lesson that time. And God is a God of order, right? Amen. He is, right? He puts people in positions. At work, you got to respect, honor, whether you agree or not agree. But God says to be good servants, right? In whatever situation you're in. God is a God of order in the home, right? The Bible says, you know, husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit to your husbands. And not because a husband deserves it, but because God's a God of order, right? God's got a way to, so there won't be chaos. Amen. So I learned a very good lesson there, because once the group came down and we had the week with them, and on that last service, we were at the island. We rented a place there, a hotel, and Eloy shared that was a day that his life was completely transformed from just going through the motions to being lost to seeing Jesus and seeing the power in his transformational power. And so I after that, if you were to ask me again, do what I want to go to summer camp or have a camp here, it's a different story now, isn't it? But it goes to show you that God's ways are not our ways, right? Amen. And not every good idea is God's idea, right? Sometimes your great idea is not God's idea. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons in watching Pastor Green for 23 years in Donna. I learned a lot of valuable lessons about order, about God. It's not about the best way. It's about giving your input, and when decisions are made, you go as a team in unity and in love, right? And same principle I use at work, where I work. I tell the staff, you know, once the decision is made, all the team, the directors, the managers, they got to go. They got to be in unity with the idea. What happens if you have a decision made and some of your leaders start, I wasn't what I wanted to do. I know it's not, I agree with you. It's not a good idea. Yeah, we should have done it another way. Yeah, what starts happening when you start doing that? It starts feeding disunity. And so God's a God of order. And other valuable lessons I learned along the way is to trust God no matter what you see with your eyes. To trust God no matter what you see with your eyes. And at the end of the day, what matters above all is Jesus and your relationship with Him. When life gets busy, and when life gets confusing, and when things start happening that you're not quite sure why they're happening, those are the moments that I found in my life that I need to keep it simple. And the simplicity is this: read your Bible and pray and trust God. Amen. And everything will work itself out. And so the most important thing that I can do, I feel as a pastor, is to point you to Jesus, because if I point you to me and my understanding, then I'll lead you astray. Because my own understanding is not going to get you the answer. Now, I can give you advice of what I read, but at the end of the day, I want to point you to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, trying to get you to recognize the difference between your thoughts and God's thoughts. And those are things you only learn through experience, right? And through being there. And so what I've been trying to do from time to time is if someone has a word of knowledge, you want to say something, you feel like the Lord's speaking to you, you want to share it to the church. You know, we want people to feel free to give that word, but in an orderly way. Because you can't have everybody just all of a sudden giving words, right? It's actually, if you read Corinthians, it tells you, do things in order in church. And I've kind of told the leadership that, and even some not in the leadership. So the appropriate way to do things is you go to the pastor and say, I have a word. And sometimes it's a good time, and sometimes you do it later at the end, or you do it after the, you know, just, but God is a God of order, and that's important. And that leads me to the last thing I want to mention that I've learned. First, I've learned that God's a God of order. I've learned to trust him. His ways are not always, not every good idea is God's idea. I've learned these things through watching Pastor Green, through experiencing things. Another thing I've learned is to love unconditionally and never give up on people. Well, that's one thing that before I started pastoring in 2014, that I didn't have that passion in my heart to love people in that way where I want the best for them. I want, you know, I cared. I was helping Pastor Green, and I was his assistant, and I was having a really good, stressless time. It's good to be the assistant when you have someone like Pastor Green who takes charge. Right? Because he just takes charge. It was very comfortable for me. And I was having a career and everything was going nice and smoothly there. And then he dropped the bomb on me and said that it was time for him to step down. Wow. Talk about getting out of a comfort zone. There was one problem with that. There's something about a pastor's heart that I didn't understand in 2013, because I started in 2014, that I learned through this one miracle that we call the miracle of the sign, which many of you know the story, but I'll repeat it for those of you that don't know the story. But there was something that I was lacking to be a pastor, and that was really caring and loving that every person do good and grow and be passionate and not give up on people. I didn't realize it yet, but it was like, Lord, are you sure you want me to be a pastor? Are you sure you got this right? And so even though I was going through the motions and the transition, my heart hadn't quite tipped over yet. And I think I learned later on that it was because I was scared. I mean, I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And that's another thing I learned. I don't know what I'm doing as pastor. That's true. But sometimes it's good to be there because God's leading and he's guiding. But this miracle, the sign, changed everything. It changed everything. I had a moment, a revelation after it that all of a sudden I have this thing switched in my heart to love and care and really want the best. And people to grow. And I don't know how to explain it, but this is what happened. So Pastor Green, I'm still like, Lord, are you sure you're doing this right? Are you sure it's the time for me to be pastor? And so the miracle of the sign story goes like this. The short version is I went to look for a banner so that we could advertise on our wall, you know, new pastor. A new church name. We changed the name of the church to Hope Community Church, which we love. It fits us to the T. Hope Community Church. So we were changing the name and we were changing pastors. And so Pastor Green says, "Hey, you got to go look for something, a banner or something." So, okay. How much money we have? Nothing. Just go look for a banner. Okay. We always knew we could kill a chicken or two and raise some money for a banner, right? A That's called a barbecue plate sale. For those of you who don't know what killing a chicken is, we don't really like sacrifice a chicken. So I go out, and the story goes like this. I work in Edinburgh, so I was going to go from Edinburgh to McAllen to a sign place, and it got late. I was in a meeting, and everything got backtracked. It was late, and I just wasn't going to have enough time to do what I wanted to do over there. I came home a little early, around 4 o'clock, and I said, you know, it's 4 o'clock. I can't go to mission now, but I looked in my phone and sign place, and I didn't even realize there was a sign place like literally one block from where I grew up my whole life. And it didn't even click in Donna, right? There was a sign place there. And so I went to that. I said, well, it's right there. It's 2 blocks away. I'm going to go. So I went, and I met the gentleman there, and I told him, you know, I'm new pastor, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, he works with me, and we design a logo and a sign, and he gets ready to sell it to me, I guess. Like, I thought he was just trying to sell me something. He was like, so how much money do you have? And I told him, we have about $500. He said, well, this is a $13,000 sign. And I said, no, I don't want a sign. I just want a banner. Can you help me produce a banner? Or at least give me the design you got me, and I'll go get a banner from somewhere. And that's when he turned to his coworker and asked him, when's the last time we donated a sign? He said, it's been a long time. And he said, this is the sign we will be donating. And when I had that experience, you know, of course, chills came over me, because I realized at that point in time that this was a God moment. I mean, it was just a kingdom of God moment. You don't just go to a stranger, develop a design, and get a sign. That doesn't happen. And it happened. And when I walked out of that place, you remember I was telling you, I was like, are you sure, Lord, that I'm supposed to be doing this? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And at that moment, everything in my heart changed. It was like the Red Sea opening. Like, you just trust me, and you'll walk through it, and then it's time. And what switched in my heart was the confidence and love for people, and just wanting people to grow in the Lord and to do better, and for revival to break out, and for people search, you know, just that passion that I was missing. All of a sudden, it turned around in my life. And I hope you all know that what I want more than anything else is not for you to follow me, but to follow Jesus, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's love that came into my heart. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you'll turn there. So I had a lot of lessons I learned watching Pastor Green. And then as I moved into pastoring, a lot of lessons we have learned just going through the years. And there's so many more miracles I could tell you about the outreach and the food bank and how it's all being connected, and just God just putting things in place for us to make an impact. But I'm going to not go there today, but I wanted to share that story because there was a change in my heart to love and to care and to want the best for people. And love is very important. I wanted to read Colossians chapter 3. Let's just read through it. If ye then be risen with Christ, so if you're a Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So I'm going to kind of go through this like a little chapter study. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, this first verse says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's a lot being said there. If you are a Christian, you need to recognize that the things that you see with your eyes are really not the things you should be focusing on. It says, put your affection. You know what affection is, right? You know, passion. I mean, something that you are affectionate to, right? You care about. So in other words, approach this searching for things above with passion, with something you really, really care about. And seek it. Seek those things which are above. Because the things that are above are the things that you cannot see. Those things are eternal. And the things that you can see are temporary. So set your affection on those things. For ye are dead. How many like to hear that? You are dead. That doesn't sound very nice, but it is the truth of Scripture. When you gave your life to Christ, you're dead. Your old nature's dead. So ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Very clear. You don't belong to yourself. You're dead. I think Paul uses the word, I'm a slave to Christ, right? You are now dead. In other words, your agenda, your carnal will is dead. Right? The longer it takes you to accept that, the longer it takes you to find fulfillment and peace and joy in your calling. You got that? You can write that one down. Was that too many words? Try again. The longer it takes us to accept the fact that our sinful nature, our own carnal will is dead because Christ is now Lord of our lives, the longer it takes you to get that and to live that way, the harder it is and the longer it takes you to get into that calling and into that peace and joy to where you're supposed to be in Him. Because the Bible says you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So here's another strong verb. Is that a verb? I'm not sure that's a verb. I shouldn't be saying that because I don't know much about the English grammar. So, but it says a strong word. Mortify. What does mortify mean? Kill. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth. It's pretty strong. Our passion, our attitude should be that our sinful carnal nature needs to die so that we can live in this perfect calling that God has for us. So mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify your sinful nature. It goes through some of them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, covetousness, idolatry. For which things sake wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So whatever you need to do to mortify, to kill your sinful nature, you need to do. And that's what it's emphasizing. And it uses very strong language. For which things, verse 8, but now ye also put off by these, also put off these things. Anger. Does anybody have a problem with anger? Yeah, some of you do. I know you do. You don't want to admit it. Put away anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. You know, I played a game when I was in junior high with a friend of mine, and the game, you know, I was like, I want to stop saying bad words. And I would say bad words. And he said, okay, well, let's play a game. All right, what's the game? Every time you say a bad word, I hit you right there, right? As hard as I can. And if you say a bad word, I'll hit you. I don't want to recommend that game to anybody. But some of you may need it. But it worked. It worked. At least when I was in front of that person. But the point is, be intentional about recognizing your faults. and your flaws, because it says to focus on these things, mortify these things. Let me put it this way. It's not just going to happen. Everything's just going to be perfect. You have to be intentional about it. To mortify something, you have to take action. Right? You have to take some kind of action. It's like the alcoholic who's delivered. They need to stop going to the convenience store, right? Or to that place where they get it. Right? When you're delivered, you got to put things in place like, no, you go buy me that because I don't want to be in that situation. You start recognizing and making the effort to put yourself in better situations. Right? Lie not one with another, seeing that you have put on your old man with this deeds, that you've put off your old man. Again, it reemphasizes your old man is put off. Your old sinful nature is dead. And he's being real nice about it, but your old sinful nature is dead, so now act like it. Right? That's what he's trying to say, but he's saying it with all these King James words. You are new in Christ. You're dead. You're a new creation. Act like it. Amen. And if you have flaws and anger issues, then get on your knees and beg God to empower you to overcome. You see, that attitude is the attitude that this is what I'm getting out of the scripture. Don't just go through the motions. There's these things that are carnal, these things that are wrong, and you need to mortify them, and you need to take action, and you need to start living your new life, because in verse 9 it says again that your old man is dead because you've put him off. Verse 10, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So your old man is put off, and your new man is now alive in you. And the new man is what? After the image of him that created. So after God, the character of Jesus. That's what your new man becomes. And in this new man, there is no Greek nor Jew, verse 11. There's no circumcision and uncircumcision. There's no barbarian, Scythians, bond or free. But Christ is all and in all. So in this new creation, we are all new in Christ. There is no one better than the other. Right? That's clear in scripture. There's no one better than the other. We're all part of the family of God, and the pinky is just as important as the thumb, right? And the toe is important as any other part of this body. So there's no favorites, and it's something important for us to know in the church. God doesn't look at a pastor or look at a leader and say, that one's worth more to me than this person who's serving in another capacity. All right? God doesn't look at it that way. I always use this example. When we get to heaven, there's going to be pastors that are not going to be as high ranked as someone who is called to serve with help. Right? That's a gift of the Spirit, by the way. Helps, right? Helps, meaning they're just always helping people or are there to serve. In the kingdom of God, it's going to be what you did with what God gave you. Right? It's not going to be titles as we see it here on earth. Because there's no respecter of person. God's going to be very just in how he assigns things to us in his kingdom. So verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You know what that reminds me of? The fruits, Michelle mentioned it during worship, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, mercies, kindness, humbleness, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, also do you him. So the Bible instructs us to be people of peace. Be intentional about forgiving people. Be intentional about loving people. Be intentional about these things. And I love this next verse, which is what the main point of what I want to talk about, the point I want you to take home today. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So all of this stuff we've been talking about, and then he says, but above all, so even more than all these other things, love. Love. Because love, the Bible says, what covers a multitude of sins, love is the bond of perfectness. So when you love one another, it turns what is imperfect into perfect. Love is a powerful, powerful weapon that God has given us to love one another. You know, and before Jesus died, he made it a point to show the disciples something. And I think this is very, very important for all of us. He got them together, and he said, I want you to wash each other's feet. And they're like, let us wash your feet. And he's like, no. But you're the one worthy. And he's like, no. I need you to wash each other's feet, because when I leave, I need you to remember that by washing each other's feet, you're washing my feet. I need you to remember how to love one another and serve one another and care for one another, because they will know you are my disciples, and they'll know about my name because of your love. That's a pretty powerful message. Love is powerful, and it's clear above all that God wants us to love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Reading the Bible, reading God's word, is essential for Christian life. It is the word of God, the life. It's the power of God in word, and it's truth, and it never changes. So don't go days. Don't put down the word. The word needs to be a part of your life, and that's so important. That we take our reading of our Bible with passion. You want to take that? Thank you, sir. Verse 17, and whosoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then, as you're going through Colossians chapter 3, so we got a deep dive into Colossians here, and we just learned about mortify your body, be passionate about your new man, and live it, and act like you're a Christian, right? Act like you belong to God, and put away these things, and it's very strong, and it says, above all, love. And then, oddly enough, it goes to wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, it is fitting to the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, these statements here is talking about God's order in the family. It's talking about wives submitting to their husbands, right? And husbands not being dictators, but willing to die for the best of the family. So husbands, word of advice, don't use this scripture for selfish purposes, or you will have a very ugly fight with your spouse, right? When you begin to use these scriptures, husbands, in a way that is selfish, like, we're going to do it this way because I'm going to make sure I watch that game and everybody's going to just work around me, right? Right? That's not what this scripture means, right? It means lead your family, love your family as Jesus was willing to die for the church. With that mindset. Not with the mindset of everybody's going to do what I say, but with the mindset of I'm dying for this family. I'm serving and leading this family so that they can grow in Christ and in their relationships with God. There's a big difference. And when a husband gets it, a wife will follow that because they know it's for the best for the family. See, a lot of the problems we have in marriage is this scripture in the world, they don't understand this in the world. You go and quote this scripture outside of church and it's like we're all equal, right? And all of that stuff, right? And of course we're all equal in the sense that no one's better than the other. But clearly in scripture, God is a God of order, right? Because anything, as Pastor Green taught me, with two heads is deformed, right? Have you ever seen anything with two heads? It's very deformed. So there is a structure and an order that God has put in place. But please, a word of caution, love. Husbands, you got to love and not do it in a way that's selfish. And of course, children, you're supposed to obey your parents in all things. It doesn't say obey your parents when you feel like it or when they're this or that, in all things. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest you be discouraged. So fathers, don't provoke. Don't. And servants, obey all things to your masters according to the flesh. So even servants at work, wherever you work, you're supposed to obey. In your workplace, there's an order at work too. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. So all of these things that you do, when husbands lead, when wives submit, when children obey, you're not actually doing it to that person according to the scripture. You are doing it unto the Lord. That's pretty deep. And when you're at work and you're obedient and you do what you're not cheating time and things like that, you're not doing it to the work. You're doing it unto the Lord. Knowing that the Lord shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Love. We need to love one another. We need to love people. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul was talking about all the gifts of the Spirit. You know, the speaking in tongues, the prophecy, all these things, that word of knowledge. But he wanted to make this one point about all of that. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of the angels but I don't have love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all masteries and I have knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I do not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. That's pretty deep. here we are working at Colonias and helping the needy and bringing food out. And if we're just doing that like little ants and there's no love for the people, we're missing it. Amen? If we're just doing church things and we're just doing it and we don't really care that the people are loved and they know we care for them, you're missing it. You know what changes the world? Love. God's love, it changes the world. One thing I know about the people that we've been serving, helping, I pray above all that they know that we just want them to do better. We just want them to see Jesus in our actions. Amen? You know, the minister was helping the construction crew. They were separating a wall for a family that had boy girls, I guess. And do we care for that family? So I was telling him, we need to go and see them. We need to go see how they're doing. Let's see if you built a good wall or not. Let's see if it's falling down. Love, caring, going out of your way to care for people. And it defines love. If you don't know the definition of love, it's in right here. We're going to read it. Chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffereth long. That's why you love your children, right? When they're like babies and crying and they're annoying you and you suffer, right? But you love them and you suffer for them. And it's kind. Love is kind. Love envieth not. No envy. So when you see somebody doing better, be happy for them. Oh, right? Not, they don't deserve it. They're not going to church. Why do they get blessed and I don't get blessed? Have you ever thought that? Well, you need to get that out of your mind. Don't be envious. Thank God for what you have. And give, and it will be given unto you. Amen? Envieth not. Love vaunteth not. It's not prideful, right? It's not puffed up. Doth not behave. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things. Believe all things. Hopes all things. Endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three things. But the greatest of these is love. I think it's clear in these two chapters that we've read. Above all, of these three, the greatest is love. So my challenge to you as a church, here we are in positions to help, in positions to do this or that, and you're in your own life, God puts you in positions. I want to challenge you to be intentional about caring for others. Whatever your situation is, be intentional about loving and caring for others. You may see somebody that's down. You normally would just walk by and say, well, hope for the best for you, but not say a word. Be intentional about saying a word, about praying. I want to just challenge you through the course of this next week. Do something different that shows love. Do something different that shows you care. And you'll be surprised how much you're fulfilled because of that. You know, everybody in life is looking to be filled, right? All these Hollywood stars, and they thought fame would fill them, and they get the fame, and they're excited, and then they're empty. It's when you love one another that you're really fulfilled. It's when you understand and you start living His calling for your life, and understand that your old sinful nature is dead and you've got to kill it, and it's new life in Jesus Christ. And it's when you're on that path and you begin to love one another that you are full of joy and peace even in the storms. So that's my challenge to you as a church, as people, as families. Husbands, love your families. It's not all about you and what you want, right? And wives, sometimes we just got to go with a decision we don't always agree with, but He's a God of order, and we love through it, and we do the work, and we are in unity. Individually, show God that you love Him by reading your Bible every day. Amen? Show God you love Him, pray, read. Is there any best advice that I've always said that I can give you? Is read your Bible and pray every day. And you will grow, and you will grow, and you will grow. That's the key. That's the key. So love. Do not be satisfied with ordinary. If we're going to live for Jesus, then go all in. Love with commitment, love with intention, love with purpose. Love because you have passion to see others get closer to God. Love because He first loved us. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." That's the message. Just go love. Go love people. Love people. When you combine love with a real life, a real anointing of God in your life, you're going to change the world. You're going to change people around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us your ways. Teach us your word. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to put ourselves in a position to love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty, and there's the spirit realm. Our weapons are not what we see with our eyes, but the things that we cannot see. So Lord, as we've learned in these two chapters, how important, above all, love is, help us to leave this place ready to love. Change our hearts from focusing only on ourselves, but focusing on others as well. It is clear in your word that you want us to love others as we love ourselves. So Lord, teach us to be those people that say that extra word of encouragement. Help us to be that person that offers to pray for somebody because we care and we love. Help us to be people that love, expecting nothing in return, because we know it's more blessed to give than to receive. Change our hearts to love. In Jesus' name we pray.